Here we go. Hour three, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's time now for a daily football fix, and we need a fix right about now. Here's Woolchuck with the latest.
Let's do it. Here it is.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
It happened. They fired. No, they didn't. They didn't fire. Stepping down was Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what the report was. He stepped down. He was not fired. And now Pittsburgh retains the rights. Therefore, there are several, according to Andrew Marchand, big TV companies that are looking like, hey, we didn't fill Jimmy Johnson's role on Fox. Amazon Prime, could they be interested? ESPN, they're getting ready to go ahead and have the Super Bowl next year. We want to gear up for our coverage. Mike Tomlin's name, a hot commodity. Does he do the Sean Payton route? Does he sit out a year and then teams are on the horn and say, hey, Pittsburgh, we'll give you et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then boom, you get traded. I don't know. It was a one. It was a first-round pick for Sean Payton to land in Denver. Does it end up being a one for Mike Tomlin? The Dolphins are a team that's bubbled up to the top. The Giants are another team that's been mentioned, although they're putting out a full-court press to try and get John Harbaugh. You got Mara secretly meeting with him at his house, trying to just do due diligence, lay the groundwork. Hey, there's mutual interest here. But this coaching thing is going absolutely bananas, boys.
Yeah, and the Ravens owner, Biscotti, had a presser of some sort today, and he was just on fire. Like, he was asked if Harbaugh would still be coach if Loop had made that field goal last week on Sunday Night Football, and he said for a week. And then he gave this look to the reporter, you know, and then you combine that with he was asked if they would consider hiring Tomlin to be the Ravens coach, and he laughed and said, holy bleep, only if they hire Harbaugh. Which to me suggests he really doesn't think Harbaugh is a good coach. And he would love to see Harbaugh going to coach the Steelers for a chance to compete against him. Like, that seems messy for, you know, a guy that gave you 18 years and won a Super Bowl with you, as compared to how you look at the Rooneys handled Tomlin allowing the resignation. You know, much classier way to go about things.
Yeah, Bisciotti also said he doesn't see himself owning the team 10 to 15 years from now, and he won't pass it down to his family. He's 65 years old. He said, quote, I've seen families feud and get ruined over these damn teams. And then he added, quote, when I see Jerry talking about what part of his anatomy to give up for a Super Bowl at 83 years old, I don't want to be there.
Hmm. Ooh.
Just unprompted.
Wow, man, that's he was a guy on fire. That's not a foxhole guy.
No.
Did he get into Jim Irsay's medical cabinet?
I mean, he was sipping on a water bottle. Was that water?
That was vodka.
Do you think so? I'm
he
not going to. That was
off.
Eric. Yeah. Eric's alleging it was vodka.
It would make sense if it was vodka.
It would. Hopefully it's not straight, but more power to you if it was. Guys, oy, this isn't a good stat. This is a sad Cowboy stat. Why am I even giving this to you? I don't know. I put it in my prep email, and I'm going to blame RJ Ochoa for even letting me see this. The Houston Texans now. Since 2002, when the Texans began playing as an organization.
Beat the Cowboys.
They did, Brian. They
Week
did.
One.
They have more divisional round appearances since the Cowboys do. They've got 7. The Cowboys have 6.
That hurts.
1 every 4 years.
Yeah.
Get to their peak.
Yep. Cowboys 07, 09, 14, 16, 18, 22. The Texans 11, 12, 16, 19, 23, 24, 25. I mean, they're going on a nice stretch here. Now,
they run the state.
Can they? Oh, gosh.
Play next year, don't we?
We want to echo this. We want to magnify this in hopes that it could possibly inspire Jerry to care about something competitive.
You know, there are days where...
Take Steve Bisciotti's words.
I totally am in line with that. I'm like, we owe it to the fans. We've got to do this. We've got to make sure we're doing everything in our power to make sure that maybe he hears. Then there's other days, like right now when you said that, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Something's always wrong. He does not care what we have to say. He's just going to keep going about it as it is, and we'll see what happens. You're just keeping hanging around that rim. We're hanging around that rim. The bites at the apple. The bites at the apple. I hear it every freaking year, Gavin.
I know.
Oh.
No reason to believe it's going to change. Like, have some pride and try to take over the division. Nope. You can have it. You know, from Andy Reid to Doug Peterson to Nick Sirianni.
Yep.
Like, 2.5 decades worth of just letting them take the division. Now Houston can take the state. Doesn't care. You know, it's still America's team. It's still the number one TV ratings generator.
Yep. Well, so much for the Monday Night Football streak. 23-0 Steelers on Monday Night games at home.
Yeah.
Been going on since 92.
Well, you guys a streak off.
Texans were 0-6 in road playoff games.
Living that one up.
Well, the Texans are now 1-6 in road playoff games. The Steelers are going to have to start a new streak as they look for a new head coach.
Yeah, new head coach.
Okay, is this good or is this bad? I've seen some people try and spin this that this is good for Notre Dame, but it is ironic that right as we started talking about the Tomlin stuff, you have a post from Notre Dame and those that cover the Fighting Irish that Marcus Freeman is speaking to the media in a press conference setting tomorrow at noon Central. It'll be the first time Marcus Freeman has been made available in any capacity to the media since Notre Dame was snubbed from the CFP.
Yeah, I would get reckless with this, but you had Schefter 20 minutes ago saying, in spite of interest from NFL teams, Freeman still expected to remain at Notre Dame.
Okay, because I saw like Notre Dame beat writers were saying this is a great thing. This is an indication that he's staying and that they have nothing to worry about. I don't know how that was that indication. I thought the timing of it, and maybe it was just coincidental. The timing of it to me led me to wonder, like, is he announcing that he's like stepping down? What's going here on here? Is he going to have a Steelers hat on? Here we go. I don't know, but
he's got the Notre Dame hat and the Steelers hat. And
maybe
he
it's
does
a good
the,
thing.
The recruiting bit. Ooh, which hat am I going to put on?
He's got the Giants there, too. Like, all the teams, the Dolphins, like, just in case. So he goes for the Notre Dame hat and then switches it. Not so fast. Puts on the Steelers hat. That'd be fun. That would be fun. All right, here's last night. Aaron Rodgers at the microphone. This was the Tomlin stuff. He talked about how much he loved Mike Tomlin. He thinks it's ridiculous that Tomlin should be hearing any of this stuff that he's getting fired. Well, then, you know, now we know Tomlin steps down. He was thinking about this even before the season.
He
wasn't feeling the love. Maybe he told Aaron, but here was Aaron snapping at a reporter after the follow-up question about Tomlin.
From being with Mike for a season about him.
I mean, I've answered that a number of times. I've talked extensively about how I feel about Mike. And I just did in that f***ing answer. So. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks. Gets up and leaves. Just says F this. Now, here was
Hopefully
Rodgers.
That's his last.
That'd be a great
moment.
It's a great way to go
great
out.
Way to go out.
Kind of like his pick six.
Yeah.
Man. And people were like, do you really think he's going to go out on a pick six? I'd love nothing more than him to go out on a pick six. Yes. Bleep that guy. Can't stand Aaron Rodgers. Here he is talking about his future.
Anyway. No, I mean, I'm not going to make any emotional decisions. Disappointed. You know, obviously, such a fun year. You know, a lot of adversity, but a lot of fun. Been a great year, you know, overall in my life in the last year. And this is, you know, a really good part of that. Coming here and being a part of this team, so it's disappointing to be sitting here with the season over.
Play again? Do you want it to be here?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Aaron, how do you approach just what you decide to do next?
Yeah, just get away and then have the right conversations.
Did you sign with the Vikings eventually?
Do some hallucinogens and.
Did we determine if he was married or not?
No, I think that he ball sacked everybody. He didn't even mention his wife there.
He's got to talk to my wife a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't get married.
Michelle noticed he was wearing the rubber ring.
Yeah, he's full of crap, dude. This is an imaginary wife. He got manti teo'd or something, if that's the case. I don't know.
I'm a rubber ring man myself. That's the easiest and cheapest way to go about it.
But your wife is real.
That is true.
I
mean,
maybe
he
is married
have one.
In his dark retreat memories. Maybe he did get married in like some other planet on the upside down.
Right.
In the abyss.
She's still waiting for him there.
Mrs. Rogers is waiting for him.
He's waiting to go back.
And he's going to get to go
and
make sweet, sweet love, ayahuasca love with her. Mm. All right, let's get to Jacksonville. Where nobody circles the wet. No, just kidding. Shout out to the Bills. They
Jacksonville
Jags, Duval. Okay, so we talked about the Jacksonville Free Press reporter.
Yeah.
Who, really gave words of encouragement to Liam Cohen yesterday. Yeah. Now, you had other media people, I think including Sean and RJ, that really just were not for this. They thought it was, you know, disrespectful or just not how you should conduct yourself, whatever the reasons are. I don't care. I thought it was a sweet
Sean
moment.
Sean Sharif, 105.3 The Fan.
It's not professional.
Coach, got a question for you.
Hey, keep your head up, Coach. Yeah. So here's Lynn Jones, and this is her clapback to all those haters.
Kind of went in on this.
Yes.
And he said nothing awesome about this, called you yes. fake media, said that you shouldn't even have been up there asking those kind of questions. Oh. So when you heard that, Stephen how did that make you feel?
I don't take no offense to it. Listen, I've been in this business more than 25 years. I've interviewed from Barack Obama to Terry Bradshaw to, what's my guy named, Tiger Woods. So he can say whatever he want about fake news. I am a member of the Black Press. NNPA, the National Newspaper Association, that's been around more than 100 years. I'm the associate editor of the Jacksonville Free Press, one of the more than 230 African-American newspapers still printing in this country today. In Jacksonville, you have the Florida Star since 1955. We've been around since 1986. In Philadelphia, the Tribune, the Philly Tribune has been printing since 1884.
In my
hometown of Detroit, the Michigan Chronicle has been printing since 1935. So support the Black Press. So he can call me fake all you want to, honey. I've been doing this a long time.
Let me tell you something.
How about Stephen A., right? Didn't Stephen A. go after him?
Stephen A. might have. There was a specific tweet of a guy that went viral that they referenced off that they read there. So this wasn't directly a Stephen A. comment, but it would not surprise me if Stephen A. did also go after her. But regardless, I didn't have any issue with it. I thought it was a pretty sweet moment. You don't see it all the time. I think it's okay. She was the first year that Jacksonville ever became a football team in 95. She was covering the team.
Yeah.
She obviously has a little bit of fan in there. And, you know, someone who can relate to
that. Is that what people are going after a little bit for it?
Yeah, it just was not, it wasn't professional. This isn't what, you know, journalists are supposed to do in that type of setting. You're supposed to investigate and educate, whatever. So she,
I need to get that on a t-shirt, too.
She could tell that he was, you know, a little bit down and gave him some uplifting words of encouragement.
That's what I heard, is like the vibes are weird. We're all talking about how disappointing it is to not win this game, but it might be a moment to take stock of how well everything went for you and the team, and everything's pointing up. So
I think he appreciated,
just a different style.
I think he appreciated it a little bit.
I think so too.
His look to her, like, you know, when he's saying yes, ma'am.
It's endearing.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, he was like, I appreciate you saying, because we're in a day and age where, like, the questions, and by the way, there's a lot of terrible questions out there. A lot of terrible questions.
I got half of them myself. Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of them, you know, so we all need to quit.
They're kind of all the same.
We need to quit acting like that we're, like, the best question askers and holier than thou, that who can ask what or, you know, come on. There's some terrible damn questions out there, and you guys and gals that cover these teams should be ashamed of yourself. Some of the questions you ask.
Tear them up.
But I'm just saying this. You know, somebody shows a little of a human moment here in a world where there's a bunch of crap always being talked about and stuff. Come on, man. Give the lady a break. She just wanted to say something positive to a guy who brought that organization, you know, brought the city back, you know, a little more, a better football team. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep, absolutely. Shout out to my guy Jacob Rodriguez, Texas Tech, officially declaring for the NFL draft. I'm excited. Bring him in. Let's go. Get yourself an extra day two pick. Take my dude. We're going to be very excited. And then finally, the upcoming interview schedule for some of these coaches. It does appear that the Miami Dolphins former head coach Mike McDaniel is getting a lengthy interview list right now. You have
him or Jesse Minter.
Jesse Minter's added. The Titans are interviewing him today. They're also interviewing Jeff Hafley of the Green Bay Packers. Wednesday, they're going to get Mike McDaniel. Friday, they're going to get Brian Daboll of the Giants. Saturday's McCarthy, and then Sunday is Jonathan Gannon and Bob Sala. Arthur Smith is expected this week as well, somewhere in there. So, man, the Titans are busy on the interview list right now. There's your football fix.
Thank you, Woolchuck. Football fixed most afternoons, 4 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. He's got his mixed bag coming up at 4:40. We got a George Pickens contract projection. Are you in at these levels? We'll get to that and more coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fam. All right, welcome back, Nation. Segment here Is it a mistake for the Cowboys to do this projected contract with George Pickens? I have a couple of questions here for you. I don't know if it's a good idea. I think I'm fixing to go in and commit both feet on this idea. And when they have a great offense again, but they can't stop anybody, just remember who told you first. Matter of fact, I think keeping George Pickens might just be good for TV ratings and sales. I don't know if it's getting him any closer to winning. And I hate to say it because I might be the biggest GP fan at this station. Huge fan of him. I wouldn't be opposed to dealing CD and keeping GP. Let me say it like that. I just think that for this team that is so obsessed with managing the salary cap conservatively, this is a massive opportunity to free up a bunch of money, get more picks, and actually rebuild the defense. But once you put pen to paper with GP, long-term deal or franchise tag, I don't see them, saying, and we're going to get a linebacker and an edge rusher and a right tackle and a corner. So if you got to choose, the way to do it is with roster balance. Nobody's winning with a top-five offense and a bottom-ten defense. Like the minimum historically is average, and they're quite a ways away from average defensively. So at 877-881-1053, I'll give you the roster projection or the contract projection here in just a second. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, I've been flirting, been sniffing around this topic, asked it as a question a couple of times, but now that we are here in the offseason and the full scope of how bad this defense is upon us, I saw Nick Harrison. I think he might be low. 4 years, $120 million. If I'm George Pickens and David Mulligetta right now, I do got to defer to Harris. He might have a better nuanced understanding of this. He might have a report on what could get this done, like a genuine report. It's not just his gut, but my gut's telling me that's about $20 million short. I think I need 4 and 140 if I'm George Pickens. I mean, this cap is only going up. By the time we get to 2028, 2029, that $30 million is going to be very low compared to where to the top of this wide receiver market is going. But, even if it's a team-friendly deal, even it's still $30 million. I really want to spend that on the defense if I can help it. That's where I'm at. Leave your name and city you're texting from if you want to get in on this conversation. It really comes back to the fact that the Cowboys have a very conservative cap strategy.
Right. They're not like a team like the Eagles or the Rams or somebody that'd be like, okay, we're going all in right now and we're gonna overpay for a bunch of things and mortgage the future.
Come on, bring it.
They're not down for that. So I totally get where you're coming from on this one. And as much as I love George Pickens as well, if you can do a tag and trade situation where you're getting at least a first round pick for him. I mean, I'd be totally fine with that.
I mean, they couldn't even build a good defense with George Pickens counting as $3 million or $2 million against the cap. How are we going to add $27 or $28 million to the cap on another wide receiver and say, yep, now we're going to have the resources to do this? And it sucks because you want to have star players, and certainly you don't get closer to the top by giving away good players. But when you're not that close and you have a gaping hole defensively, three or four gaping holes defensively, you also need safety. Okay, we need a lot of good
Watch
players.
Watch the stack today.
Yeah, we talked. We did go through some safeties.
We did. We went through some safeties.
But they need to get a day two pick.
Yeah, they're gonna have to
get any of these guys, or you just. You kind of just take one.
We addressed it.
So last night we saw the Steelers offense be complete butt.
Right.
You know why? They're the opposite of the Cowboys. They spend two-thirds of their cap dollars on defense. And, that's that part of the Steelers team held up pretty well. Would they give up 14 points or 16 points on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, they allowed two defensive touchdowns, so absolutely. I mean, here's – the Pickens contract is fascinating. I mean, I knew when the Cowboys traded for him, the Steelers already drew a line that we're not paying you north of 25, and he wanted that. Then I was told his camp wants north of 30. If he were to get 35 – there's only two other receivers in the league, that's Chase and Jefferson, that are getting over 35.
Lamb's like right at 35?
Lamb's 34. At 34, okay. Right? And then you've got DK at 33, Garrett Wilson at 32.5. Those are the top five highest paid guys. George Pickens, this is the first time he's ever had over 63 catches in a season. First time he's ever had over 5 touchdowns in a season. Just the second time he's had over 1,000 yards in 4 years, and it's the first time he's had over 1,150 yards. That's what he had in his other best season in 2023. So I can just see, plus you have the stigma, which I don't think is fair, but I think exists amongst other NFL teams that don't know the player well enough, of some of the stuff and the baggage that the Steelers dealt with him. The Cowboys now know that, and everything that I've heard is he's been awesome in the locker room. He's really well-liked on the team. Dak loves him. He's got a great relationship with CD. He's been tremendous since he's been here. Some people will push back and say, like, yeah, but he's looking for a payday. So is he on his best behavior? Well, you have the incident that happened in Vegas, and so he sits out the first drive. But I can see teams pushing back, like, dude, you can want 35. We're not giving that to you.
Even 30, though? Even 30 for a team that desperately needs to rebuild its defense?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. See, here's my thing. If I could be guaranteed, if the Cowboys say we're not doing this, and I'd still love to tag and trade because I need to do something with that asset, and now I'm using it to try and also team build by adding picks, and I'll trade him to Buffalo, a team we've talked about, or whoever, Baltimore, whatever team we want to discuss, and try and get a third-round pick back or a second-round pick, whatever I can get. I need to know for sure that the Cowboys then will use the added resources to fill out the roster on defense. I don't know that they will do that. Jerry says that they will. Jerry talks about busting the budget. I think Jerry wants to. Do the other people, as we've talked about, the consensus, the other voices, agree with that? Or will they look at the rest of the salary cap? You can't sell me we moved Micah because we couldn't afford Micah, which is bull, because they were going to pay him. But you can't sell that and then not do anything with that money.
I love the idea that we moved on from Micah to get extra picks and more money. Now, if you did that with Micah, it makes sense with Pickens as well. You know, is it 4 or 5 players, considering how many needs the team has? I would love to believe it, but I think most people believe that wasn't for that strategic reason. That was the best explanation you could assign to the Micah thing. Yeah. After things had gotten more difficult than you imagined they would be. I wanted to ask you as well. You know, we're all big fans of Pickens, right? We all like Pickens.
Yeah, of course.
Do you guys think on the other side of that contract we'll get even more casual games from him? Like, how much stock do you
That's
put in that as
plays.
A team builder?
Yeah. That's, I mean, his demeanor is, or the play style is that of a guy who is not, we've talked about this a bunch for 17 weeks. You know, people are like, oh, look at him. He's lazy in routes. He doesn't care. Watch his games.
He plays like that in the games he's dominating, too.
Yeah, he can have 130 yards, and he can run routes exactly like that. You just, when you watch him play every week, you almost get used to his pace in the way he plays. So it's not surprising. It's surprising that on a Thursday night game, everybody was ripping him about his play style. But that's how he plays. So it's not with a great sense of urgency unless the ball is going his way. Then it turns into a sense of urgency.
Yeah, I think you just got to take the good with the bad there.
They know the guy now.
Yeah.
They absolutely know the player.
And it seems like he likes football. Maybe there's some focus issues every now and then. But you look at the entirety of the season, it was an incredible year. And I would bet that more of those are going to happen.
I think he does really love playing the game. And I think he loves the competitive aspect of it. I just don't think he's cool with all the rules and stuff. I don't think he's cool with curfew and meeting times and stuff like that. I think he's kind of like, listen, I'll show up and play, and I'll get you your 130 yards every week. You know, just let me be. And I think that's why, you know, we heard what happened in the Vegas game. You know, how many other days have there been where, you know, his clock was 25 minutes later than everybody else's clock?
And hey, if you were trying to build that type of situation, as Shoddy has said he is, it would make sense that you would, you know, want to hold him accountable, or to not make an example out of this is what you do and get rewarded on this football team. You know, you certainly were willing to do it with players that had fallen out of favor. Are you making exceptions for George? Certainly Hell looks yeah, that way
are.
To me.
Hell yeah, you are, because you know George is going to roll out of bed and get you 130.
I mean, he and there's some things that he does better than everybody else in the NFL. The ball's downfield, the yak, nobody does it better than
draw
George
penalties.
Pickens. So, you know, I desperately want the Cowboys to signal that they're going to bring him back and fill out the other parts of the team. But I feel like it's been a very established track record that they will take care of the offense and then try to pass the defense together on whatever kind of shoestring budget they have, and then hold their breath at their draft picks fill in the gaps. There is Hawks trade news. Reese Shea, Porzingis, Kennard, all out for Atlanta tonight. So this could be a precursor for a trade, as there's been quite a bit of reporting today on Anthony Davis. Shams said that his hand injury is going to require surgery. He'll be out multiple months. AD himself tweeted around 12:30 or so that there's a lot of lies going on these apps right now. And then Broadus reported for us earlier that AD wants to play through this without an operation.
Yeah, he didn't want surgery. Yeah.
So there's a lot of different irons in the fire, but the idea that he could avoid surgery, tough it out, do physical therapy, and then come back for a playoff contender in March or April, that is out there and refueling Mavs trade rumors. I think Blake Elliott's going to join us coming up at 5:20. He'll give us more details on that. And we're coming back with a mixed bag. Wolchuk, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we got some leftovers when it comes to football. Of course, we'll get a little quick puck action in there as well. And I'll tell you, we do have some Mavs news a-bubbling. So we'll make sure we cover all of the sports world, from hockey to basketball to football, next year in the Nation.
Shoot, yeah. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Football's finest coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll hit the top of the hour. We'll get into G-Bag of the Day in L.A. Live coming up 5:30, 5:40. It's time now for a mixed bag. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, let's do it. Let's start on the gridiron. Man, Adam Schefter put this out. In January of 2007, the Steelers made the surprising decision to hire then-Vikings defensive coordinator Mike Tomlin. Social media was just being launched, and there were no iPhones. The first iPhone came out 5 months after Mike Tomlin was hired.
Wow.
Dang, dude.
The world has changed in a big way.
I still remember that day, the first time somebody came up to me with an iPhone and said, hey, have you seen the sports page this morning? I was like, no. He's like, oh, take a look. I was like, no way.
That's crazy.
It's an actual newspaper on a phone.
It was like the flip phones were the big thing. Then there was the Razors. Then it was like the Blackberries. And then the iPhone just took over. And
don't forget them sidekicks, bro. I had a run with the sidekick.
Oh, yes.
Had a run.
Don't forget.
Nuts. Absolutely crazy. South Carolina quarterback Air Noland has signed with Memphis.
Wait, he was a Gamecock?
He was a Gamecock.
He was backing up Lenoris?
He was. Air Noland, one of our all-time great names in college football. He's going to be a Memphis Tiger. So shout out to On3 for reporting that. And this wide receiver room for Buffalo. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, man.
Buffalo Bills.
Gosh, guys. They've got three healthy wide receivers. It's Khalil Shakur, Brandon Cooks, and Keon Coleman. Because Gabe Davis and now Tyrell Shavers are done for the year. Josh Palmer was placed on IR.
He tore his ACL. He got smashed. Tony Romo's like, man, you got to hang on to that. No. He got his knee just obliterated on the play.
I was driving, just like it's a cramp.
I was driving when that game was going on. And like,
it's a tough catch, but you got to know you're going to see contact over the middle, man. You got to hang on to that.
You got
to
be ready there,
as
guys.
His knee gets blown
Kevin
back
Kugler,
the other direction.
Kevin Kugler and Mike Mayock refused to tell anybody what was going on in the game when it came to injuries. Yeah.
Oh, on the radio they were?
Yeah, I was driving and listening to the game.
We got Travis Kelce. He said he'd return for another season in a heartbeat if his body can heal up. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's done. He talked about that on the New Heights podcast. He's also getting major interest from TV networks. I think Tomlin, as we talked about earlier, going to be also very interested. You have a lot of options on the TV side. Schefter said he's not coaching in 2026. So as of now, despite all these teams that are interested in Mike Tomlin, and even though the Steelers still own their rights, maybe they could make a trade or do something. But Schefter's saying he's taking a year off.
Maybe he's kind of a media-hating guy, isn't he? Isn't he a little
Tomlin?
Bit of a media-hating guy? Yeah, like he
most coaches are when they're in that role.
He doesn't understand your question. He doesn't like your question. He doesn't, you know, he's not always super helpful. I always find it strange when these coaches, like Nick Saban, like all of a sudden he's just embracing the media and stuff like that because he's part of it. You know, I just
Belichick
never could,
for that year.
I never could understand the coach that, you know, not and I, but I don't need you to be shoddy either. I don't need.
That's a great question.
Yeah, too much. Yeah, Zach. I tell you what, I couldn't have thought of a better question there if you'd asked. You know,
Coaches don't like it when you like define the reality or define the premise of the situation that they're in or that they should be concerned with something. Yeah. I felt like he has been respectful, but I think he'd be. I think he could potentially be great at media. It's hard to say. Like some guys that seem like they're going to be a pain in the ass or a stick in the mud, they show up and it's time to start joking around and you see parts of their personality you've never seen.
Why can't they be that way when they're coaching? Why can't they be somewhat helpful?
They view the media as the enemy
like
when they're in that role.
Government secrets and stuff. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
I understand if we're out there and saying, hey, by the way, saw them fake a punt today in practice. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything is so like just, you know, just so secretive and all that. Just why don't you try and help people understand the game a little better? You know, I admire, and I don't know if he's ball sacking us or not, but I admire Shanahan when he asked about what the play call was. He always tells you what the play call was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's just making it up or he's just, but that's really the play call. But I kind of appreciate.
Sky bang, right?
Yeah, I just appreciate. And then he has the recall like, yeah, we called it against the Saints. Uh-huh. We threw it this way. You know?
It was called Debo Bang.
Yeah.
We had Debo Samuel at the time. I mean, it was cool. It was. Now, I did see our buddy Joseph Hoyt put out that he thinks that if Tomlin were to go into media, he'd look like this, and it was a picture of Roy Kent.
Roy Kent. From the show.
Yep. Ted Lasso.
He's here. He's there.
He's every bleeping where. Roy Kent.
Oh, like kind of like standoffish.
Just very stoic. Yeah. Like, you know, a man of very few words. Yeah. Just like
You'd have to pair him with somebody that can.
Guy sucks.
Can kind of bring it out of him, you know?
Yeah.
Get him to coach you up a little bit.
He might be brilliant. I could see him being brilliant. I mean, he's been a winner at everything he does. The guy certainly doesn't lose, right? He's not a loser. He's a winner. Google him. Shout out to you, Signetti. All right, let's get to Jason Kelce because the Eagles made a big move today as well. They bleep canned their offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo. He's gone.
Kelce's not too happy.
Not at all. So here was Jason Kelce on the Monday Night Football set yesterday, and he ain't calling out Kevin Petullo.
And I know that everybody is out on Kevin Petullo. I happen to know the guy. I love Kevin Petullo. I know he's a great coach. I know it wasn't the best performance this year offensively. They had the number one highest paid offense in the league and were mediocre across the board. That's unacceptable. They had their chances to win that game yesterday, and the players didn't make the plays. There's no reason that, and I'm trying to, what Robert Saleh did, that defense is commendable. What they've done to get to here is absolutely a testament to that organization and how well they're built and they function across the board. Kyle Shanahan with the trickeration, finding a way to get things open and everything like that. You tip your cap to them, but Philly had their opportunities.
I think the problem is they won enough for Petullo to kind of like let it ride, basically.
Let it ride.
You know, Kellen Moore had such a boring offense that, hey, we don't need to try anything all that special. And I think the job evolved into something much more and required sort of reinventing the wheel and giving up on what you thought when the team came together in training camp. But there's no reason to believe. You know, everything I heard with Jason Kelce right there, that's why you don't want your coaches hiring their friends to be their assistants.
Yeah.
It's working against you if you love the guy.
And at first, Sirianni kept it open. Like, could he just fill another role on the staff and we're just going to demote him from OC? But right now, he's no longer with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, 817, Emmett was a winner, but he did stink in media. You're right. I can't really defend him there. He was not great. He's not very good at media.
But he's talking better in these interviews and stuff now.
I think he's a good guest.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some might say he's the best guest.
Hmm.
You know, I love it when you're a guest on our show.
Yeah.
Which is every day.
I enjoy being a guest.
You're a good
show.
Guest, and you've been doing a great job on the weekend with the Fan After Dark, Fan During the Day.
I try.
Doing a good job. Stars in action tonight, looking for back-to-back wins. Shout out to you, Robo. We love you. Awesome game winner last night. Gets off the bench. He's subbing in. Boom. Immediately backhander in the back of the net. They're taking on the Ducks of Anaheim. They last played back in January the 10th. The Ducks really have been not playing great. They have yet to even collect a point this month. They've lost 9 straight games. They've dropped 13 of its last 15. So you know what that means. This 500 hockey team about to get spanked by the Dallas Stars tonight. Don't OG's me. We're still the Dallas freaking Stars, Brian. Have some crotch-first confidence every once in a while,
Bully,
will ya?
Bully, tell me why we're going to beat a team that's lost 9 straight.
Because they stink. They stink, Bri. They're not very good. They can't do anything. They can't protect the puck. They can barely move the puck. They can't do much in their own zone. Their power play stinks. Their penalty kill stinks. And you know what the Stars are doing right now? They're starting to get healthier. They're playing good hockey. Everything's going to be all right. They went on a little bit of a schneid. It's going to be okay. They're back now. They're getting things ready to go. It's going to be rocking there at the barn, and the Stars are going to get the win 4-0 tonight. So shut your damn mouth, all right? Let's play hockey.
Nice job, Bully. Thanks, guys. In his place. Drop the damn puck.
I needed to hear that, Bully. Thanks.
Perfect. Okay, Blake Elliott's going to break down the Mavs day of drama with you coming up at 5:20, but football's finest with the Chief is next, bro.
Yeah, let's look back at last night's Texans dominance, plus a little look ahead to the divisional round next here in the nation.